This is the national radio broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American leader.
Wisdom and words of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, and as we say, spokesperson for the human soul, Imam W. Dean Muhammad.
We thank Allah for this beautiful day.
Oh, yeah.
We thank Allah for your presence here. Yeah. Allah is with us always. Yeah. Even when we are going astray, He's with us, waiting on us to repent. And as soon as we repent, we have His help. We're thankful to Allah for our honorable guests that are here with us on the platform here. I recognize the face of the doctor who just gave us good medicine. He's the son of the revivalist, the late Maulana
Maududi.
Yes, of Pakistan.
Yes.
Of Pakistan, who written so many wonderful books, more in other languages than in English, that have reached us here in America. But one of his books on the Prophet, life of Prophet Muhammad, I was a young man, was not yet a leader, and I read it, and it really renewed my life as a Muslim. It gave me so much love, understanding, pardon me, as the basis for loving our Prophet
with all of our heart and soul.
Yes. His father is a wonderful man. I hope you will read, if you haven't read some books by Maulana Maududi, please, if you run across his books or look for his books, please read them. His books are really wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. He's called the revivalist of this time, the one who is reviving Islam in this particular period of time we have right now. And I'm certainly always made so happy to see and to be with my brother, Khurshid Khan, who is the head, who heads the Islamic Circle of North America, ICNA. So happy always to be with you in your presence, and to have you say words to us. I asked him, I say, don't come and just say assalamu alaikum, but speak to our hearts and soul.
Yes,
thank you so much, each of you. And we have our dear brother in humanity from the Presbyterian Church, J. Rock. That must be a good rock. With us also, and we're building a relationship. It started a few months ago, and we are building a relationship, and I'm sure it's going to be even more wonderful for all of us in the near future. So many acknowledgments I want to make before giving you what I have as a presentation for today. I want to acknowledge the things that are occurring for us in our community by our own leaders. You know, when you lose a big population from your community, it hurts. Philadelphia, my father sent me there in 1958. I was just a fresh fire eater among the fiery ministers of Elijah Muhammad, my father. I was just one of the little young fire eaters, and he sent me to Philadelphia. Before he sent me there, he said, son, I'm sending you to Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, temple number 12. You know, the organization started with Detroit. That's where the mystic Mr. Farrar, I call him W.D. Foley, the mystic No, not WD-40. What I call it? WD-40? Not me, though. I'm not referring to me when I say WD. I'm referring to that oil they use in the automobile. Is that WD-40? WD-40, well, that's what I'm talking about then, WD-40. A, B, C, D, 4, okay, WD-40. Yes, it started there, so the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when the mysterious leader, Mr. Farad, who introduced everything to us, when he left, that is the concept for building a nation of Islam in America, when he left, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad understood that the number for that temple was one. And my father came and established his leadership upon the teachings of his teacher, Mr. Farrar, in Chicago. So Chicago became number two. And even while Mr. Farrar was still among us, but was kind of withdrawing from focus or from leadership, turning it slowly over to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, my father, who was Elijah Poole down in Georgia and had no more education, formal education, than 3 years elementary school. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Mr. Farrar, they went to Milwaukee and established a small community there. And that temple became temple number three. Mr. Farrar left after that. He went by way of Mexico, and from there I think he went to Fiji Islands, but I can't be certain of that. He might have gone back to Pakistan, where I'm sure that was his home, and then from there maybe went to Fiji Islands or somewhere. We're not sure, but we have evidence. We have cards, postcards from him, communication from him that came from Mexico after he left us and left the United States. He left it under pressure from the police department. I'm sure some of you are aware of that. There was two outbreaks, violent outbreaks. One in Detroit at the police station. The Muslims were arrested because they took their children out of public school and put them in private schools, even if they had to teach them in their homes. That was not approved by the system at that time. And the same thing happened in Chicago. So when it happened in Chicago, Mr. Farrar decided that he would leave. And I think he left at a time when he felt comfortable to leave. He had accomplished what he wanted to accomplish for his stay among us. Yes, and after that, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad went to Washington, D.C. and established the fourth temple in Washington, D.C., temple number four. And they grew number by number to many numbers, but I think five of them are very important to us for our understanding of how Mr. Farrar designed and planned the building or the development of the Lost Foundation of Islam in America. Five. The fifth one was Cincinnati. Cincinnati, Ohio was the fifth one. Now, I didn't tell you that to really give you something special. What I'm going to give you now is something special. Those who worked hard to build those temples, although they're on with Elijah Muhammad, they're still working.
That's right.
The minister who later became, got the title Imam under my leadership, who built a great following, big following, in Philadelphia after I was in prison. I was in prison for not answering selective service offer, military order, selective service order. I was sentenced to 3 years, but I only did about 14, 15 months. I was given parole, as the judge said. Judge looked at me before he sentenced me, and he said, "The boy is dominated by his father." So I'm going to give him 3 years. I said, "But I will recommend parole." That's what he said at my sentencing, and I did make it parole after about 14 months, sometime in jail in Chicago, waiting to be taken to Federal Correctional Facility in Sandstone, Minnesota. And then when they didn't take me directly to that facility, they took me to Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and there I spent another week or two, and finally got to the federal penitentiary and thought they had let me out. So I don't know how it is now, but back then, when I was in prison, you were happy to get out of those jails. Where they give you oatmeal in a big bucket, look like the mop bucket, and the man that's mopping the floor was the one bringing us the more oatmeal. Now I don't know what happened to others, but the one who was mopping the floor was also had another bucket full of oatmeal, and he was bringing that to us. One bucket for mopping the floor, the other bucket for feeding. Well, I don't want to see the hogs, but I think that's a real cheating. And if you didn't eat pork, you're really in trouble. If you didn't know how to fast, you were in trouble. But things have changed. Times are not bad like that for our prison system. And that's good. It's becoming humanizing. You know, they mentioned the destiny that God wants for us. God is constructing the human life. He is constructing the human life at all times. And he has created this world to motivate us or to force us either to conform or be rejected.
Right.
Yes, he's building a wonderful world all the time. And our Quran says God is always at some engaged in some wonderful, marvelous work
at all times.
At all times.
Right.
Yes. Now that's also true scientifically speaking, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Because they tell us, those who study the stars, the astronomers, they study the heavens, they tell us that, and they say, no, this creation has not rested or ceased to grow. There are new stars being born in the sky or in the space that we cannot measure and cannot know completely. There are new stars, new galaxies, nebulae they call them, forming the earth and the heavens are alive and growing all the time.
Right.
Yes, so I want to mention Philadelphia because we thought Philadelphia was a loss. Bad news happened there. In the leadership, for the leadership, and things went down. The press came in and exposed the bad stuff, and didn't tell us too much about the good things that happened. But that's what the press is all about. The press is about bad news more than good news. It's about exciting news.
Yes, please.
Yes. It looks for excitement. It wants something to make you want to buy the paper. You know. So that's the way the press is. And we want you to know that the leadership there was not only in my old friend, Chelsea Dean, but it was in others who were his strong supporters. And those strong supporters, especially Brother Rafael, who was the number one assistant to him in the secretary department and in the business department, he stayed right there. He didn't give up. And with the help of the members, the true believers and devoted followers there, he was able to win the case, and the charge of the temple was turned over to them. They got charge of the temple. And they contacted me and told me, gave me the good news, and they said, we are with you, and we want to invite you back to Philadelphia.
All right,
to speak to us.
All right,
so I'm due to go to Philadelphia, I think it's early next year, and they are making excellent preparations to welcome me and have me address both the Muslim audience and the public audience there. So we congratulate you all
yes, sir.
On your victory. God gave you a victory in the courtroom. We congratulate you, and we hope to see you soon, inshallah, God willing. Also, we thought Los Angeles was losing. I think the whole area was marked to be lost. They called it Los Angeles. The angels just keep falling down from heaven. Elijah Muhammad, when he sent the minister to go there, I heard one minister he sent. He knew the minister was very aggressive and energetic and intelligent and should realize a big success. But he warned him. He said, I want to tell you something. He said, now you can't talk to them the way you talk to the believers in this area where we are. He said, because they are not ready to really discipline themselves and straighten up like that. So if they want to wear the dress a little shorter than they wear them here, don't try to force it on them. My father was getting them ready, you know. And he became a very successful leader there. And after him, the President Imam Abu Karim Hassan, who had been the Imam in Los Angeles for a long time, but he was there before I became leader, few years before I became leader. He was a very productive imam, very educated imam, and an imam who has been with us for the whole time of the history almost, and he is one who takes notes, very excellent notes. So he is well briefed on, or aware, or knowledgeable of the history of our struggle in the United States of America to establish ourselves. He's well aware of that, and I thought that everything was lost, but it's not. He recently announced that they're completing the school structure after it was neglected for some time. I would say no one was supporting it with enough money to complete the structure and open the school. But change came, favoring them doing that, and they did it very quickly. Recently, a month ago, they had a celebration there, celebrating the completion of the school structure. And they have a school structure that does not only house school rooms, not only a facility for education, for teaching our children, but they also have wonderful masala there, place for masjid, mosque, or for prayers, and offices for business. It's a structure that's serving the neighborhood or the general community. And they hope in time to raise enough money to build a masjid structure separate from the school structure. So we pray Allah to God for that, that is, for their success. These are two places that I wanted to mention to you. But I want you to know also that we have Muslims who have been in Las Vegas long before I became leader. They're followers of our Elijah Muhammad, and most of them, I understand, are with our leadership here. And I want to give you good news of a very beautiful restaurant that's going to be built there soon by Brother Valib Galab, the great entertainer that we saw last night, saw and heard last night, Valib Galab, who has supported my leadership for as long as I can remember. I've been having an office. He's very constant, as many of you are. He's very constant in contributing to my leadership. So he's going to build a beautiful restaurant there, all halal. If you see the picture, you'll be inspired. It's going to be a very special place. It's going to be a tourist spot for everybody coming to Las Vegas. It's going to be a tourist spot, definitely. So that's something else I want to mention, but there are many things I'd like to mention. Since I mentioned him, and he was number one on entertainment list last night, with sharing that number one place spot with Melton Mustafa, yeah, who is a classic.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Very good.
All by himself.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. He is terrific.
Yes.
So he was the one responsible for our entertainment program, Melton Mustafa, who is a big band leader. big band leader. We just didn't have the stage and situation for really to, for us to realize or see his full picture.
Yeah.
But God willing, he'll be back soon, at least next year.
Yeah.
He'll be back, and we will have better circumstances for the show, the big band show, God willing.
We will return to the day's program after this important announcement. Ramadan Session 2007 will be held October 5th, 6th, and 7th at the Homewood Hotel in Homewood, Illinois. The opening session will begin with Jumu'ah prayer on Friday and end with the midday prayer on Sunday. Register online at www.wdmevents.org. Now accepting Visa, MasterCard, and American Express. Or call 1-708-798-4668. Now back to today's program.
And many other things I'd like to say to you, but let me tell you, on the whole, generally speaking, I know, you know, black people, they know nobody crying the blues. Somebody with eyes will start crying because nobody is crying the blues, you know. Generally speaking, I want you to let you know I'm in touch with the community all around. I travel. I'm not resident imam. I'm not placed in any one place. So I want to give you the good report with the other reports that I've given you yesterday. I want to give you the good news. Our spirit is high and getting more Islamic day by day. Not night by night, day by day.
All
right? It's getting better. And Islamic spirit is rooted in the original human soul.
Yes.
And nature. Yes. And that never leaves you. You die to it, but it doesn't die. So we are coming back alive on our best foundation.
Yes, sir.
And that is the great edifice of the human life that God created. Religion is faith, and religion is knowledge. But you can't have the knowledge unless you first have the faith.
Right.
And that's for most things. We want to see our material life improve as a community, as a body of people, as Muslims, as African-American Muslims. We want to see our material life improve. It cannot improve without faith.
Right.
And the circumstances that we have been exposed to as a people, in our neighborhoods, in our homes, and etc., the things that have influenced our souls and our spirits, have put us in a situation where it's very difficult to have faith. We have seen so many false black leaders, or African-American leaders, come up and promise us big things and let us down.
That's it.
And we have seen so many impressive movements come up for blacks, lift our expectations and let us down.
That's right.
And some of us are aware that this wasn't done all because of our shortcomings as people. No. There have been people who have, from the establishment, from the American establishment, there have been people who have organized efforts, organized influences, organized even activities to take our mind away from intelligent life and planning.
Right.
And put our life in a playpen.
That's right.
In a fun place.
Right.
Yes. And made it very difficult for us to even get control of our own environment. They have the money, they can build a big facility to bring in entertainers. And they decide what entertainers come in.
Yes.
And sing in these big facilities. So our culture has not been in our control or under our control. Our culture has just been in the hands and in the control of those who want to make big money.
That's it.
They don't want to see you get serious.
Yes.
If you get serious about taking over your neighborhood and doing something about the supplying your neighborhood with clothing, food, services, whatever, they know if that happens, that you'll have less money for fun time.
Right.
And they are really the ones who are providing you with most of your fun life.
Yes.
Even though we have great rappers, we have great performers, in order for them to perform, they have to go to a facility that's big enough to take the audience.
Right.
And we don't have facilities big enough to take the audience. So they control the performers, and they control what comes to us as entertainment.
Right.
Now we talk about culture. You know, culture is a very broad term. But when we hear culture, we really think of entertainment culture, don't we?
Right.
Yes, when we think of culture, we're thinking of the entertainment culture. But education is culture. Education is the most important part of a people's culture.
Right.
Correct education. Yes. And we don't control that either.
Yes.
And we don't have to necessarily control that, but we should try to control the entertainment culture that's provided for us. We should try to control it ourselves. I will never be pleased until we're in control of our entertainment culture.
Oh, yeah.
I'll never be pleased.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's how they are mastering our souls.
Yes.
Right.
And keeping our souls from developing out of the water to be established upon the land. In structures, of business structures, schools, messages, schools, business facilities, etc. The soul cannot be satisfied, brother, just at a party.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
If you're a real human, your soul wants to feel that it achieves something more than just a fun place.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
The soul will never rest until it has established community life.
Yes, sir.
That's why Islam and Christianity and Judaism places the responsibility on the believers to establish their own neighborhood life, their own community life. It's difficult with so many powerful, greedy elements working against that now in the world. You know, everybody just care more about getting over on the next person.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you want to make your enemies happy? Keep spending most of your time listening to funk,
yeah,
and rock and all that stuff.
Yes.
And watching that stuff on TV and movie screen. Just keep doing that, and you're strengthening your enemies. You're making them very strong and comfortable, so comfortable and strong they can sleep and rest while you play in your playpen.
That's it. That's it.
Go ahead.
That's it. That's it. All right.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you.
All right.
Religion is faith and faith and knowledge. Faith and knowledge. And what did our prophet say? He said, you will never get into paradise until you have faith. And you will never have faith until you practice loving one another. You know, when you look at what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was able to achieve, now we know he had an army to help him get what he wanted.
Yeah.
Called the FOI.
That's right.
The military, the FOI. Most of them that was supporting the Honorable Elijah Muhammad were not supporting him because they were forced. Not supporting him because of the captain or the lieutenant or supreme captain or whatever that. They were supporting him because they believed in him and they loved what he was doing.
Right.
That's why they were supporting him.
That's a fact.
So we had faith in him. And that's why he was successful in accomplishing material things, accomplishing his material goals, you know, reaching the material goals. Because we had faith in him. We supported him heavily with our money, even though we're poor.
Right.
We gave much of it, more percentage of it than was justified. We were just very, very interested in seeing his accomplishments come to reality, be fulfilled, be established. So we would give big percentage of our poor salary or income to help the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's plan for us. So you have to have that faith now. If you lost faith, and I understand it, if you lost faith in black leadership, that's okay. I'm not asking you to have faith in black leadership. I'm asking you to have faith in religious leadership.
If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive it in its entirety, you may call 708-862-7733 or visit wdmpublications.com. Ask for catalog number. For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call 708-798-6750 or write Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, P.O. Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.